I'm Kevin Kelly. This show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And this is also our first opportunity during this, our fall pledge period, to ask you for your contributions to support the show. I know that there are many new listeners during this hour and, of course, many old ones. And I also know that there were some folks who didn't think they were going to like this program and who have told me that, gee, they rather do after all. And so if you happen to be any of the above, we would certainly appreciate your support. It'll let us know, financially speaking, what you think of the show. And, of course, tell everybody who needs to know that it's a show that you want to be sure continues. The phone number is 217-244-2628. That's 244-BIG-WILL. And we will mention that more as the program progresses. The show today is going to focus on one topic, primarily the 50th anniversary season of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony. That is quite a milestone for any organization and certainly any orchestra. And they have reached it. It's a big year for them. We have with us the music director of the CU Symphony, Steve Larson. Also, we have one of the founders of the organization, who is Gilbert Papp. He is with us also. And we have this Saturday's soloist, who is cellist Dmitry Kuzov, who is going to play us a little bit of music live from our studio, along with our conversation and some recordings of some of the music that they have going on. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Those were the first two of the second set of English dances by Sir Malcolm Arnold, performed here by the Queensland Symphony Orchestra, led by Andrew Penny. You can hear all of the first set of those dances performed this Saturday evening by the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Stephen Larson. It's one of the concerts of their 50th anniversary season, and that is the topic of our Live and Local show today here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Steve Larson is with us in the studio, as is Gilbert Papp, one of the founders of the orchestra 50 years ago, and also Dmitry Kuzov, who is the soloist for the concert on Saturday. He's going to be performing the cello concerto of Dmitri Shostakovich. We don't have an orchestra behind us today, so he won't be giving us a sample of that, but he'll be giving us a sample of his playing live in our studio in just a little bit here on Live and Local. And also, we will be asking you to support the program because we need to. It's our fall pledge period. Dee Breeding is with me also on the show to share a bit of that conversation with you as well. Before we get to that part of business, we want to actually do what we're here to do, which is talk about the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra. I'm going to put the first question to Gil Papp, which seems logically enough, since you were one of the three people who started this whole thing. What did you do that for?
What were you thinking?
Well, I became the orchestra director at the high school and the assistant band director. And I said, you know, I want to get back into having an orchestra in this city. So,
and this was one of the Champaign high schools?
Right, or Champaign Central.
Okay.
And Martha Wendt was my assistant orchestra director, and we got our heads together, and we started thinking about it and saying, you know, this is possible. And so we went from there.
So as simple as that, you thought, we need an orchestra, and
so we had to get the right people. Being two public school educators, need a little more influence with the community and the townspeople, of course. And we, at that point, I had Steve, can't think of his last name, Steve Roberts and Carol Roberts in both orchestra and band. And Mr. Roberts, W.J. Roberts, was a very influential person in the community. So we went to him and said, we'd like to recruit you, Mr. Roberts, to be one of the members that we'd like to charter the new symphony orchestra, and would you be a member? And he thought about it and said, that's a good idea, let's do it.
And how difficult was it for you to convince the community that they needed a symphony orchestra?
That, of course, took time. It wasn't easy going to begin with, going around knocking on doors for gifts, and of course the kind of gifts that we needed money-wise were larger gifts, in the $1,000 bracket or more.
And just like today.
Just like today, right. Although I was reminded that the first gift that we got was from Magnavox Corporation, and it was $1,000. I said, well, geez, I thought it was more than that. It was worth about $8,000 today's dollars, so that wasn't too bad.
No, no kidding. In fact, the Magnavox Corporation, is that even around anymore?
I don't believe so. It was located in Urbana. I don't even know if they're around in the country.
So congratulations. The Champaign-Urbana Symphony has outlasted Magnavox.
Right, there you go.
Which is saying something. I mean, there is a reason that the symphony has lasted all this time. What do you? There's more than one, I'm sure. But what do you think some of those might be? Either Gil or Steve.
I'll just aim high and say the power of music first of all. But this is a community that has a lot of there are a lot of people here who are obviously well educated. Have come to love the arts and have developed an appetite for it. I mean, you look at the Krannert Center and the performance schedule they have with the visiting orchestras and artists and everything. Outside of the School of Music and all the performances they give there, there is a great appetite for music here. And of course, an orchestra like the Champaign-Urbana Symphony fulfills a different function than the School of Music in that it's not limited to just students. Community members can play in it. Faculty members, anybody who is qualified, who can pass the audition and get in, can play. So there is that outlook, that the fact that this orchestra is an outlet for people to play in, as well as to people to listen to.
I want to ask you in a little while about some of the visiting artists. Gil, maybe in your memory, and Steve, in your tenure, who have been here. We have one of those visiting artists with us who we'll hear in just a minute. But I wanted the listeners to hear at least part of the very first piece that I believe was played by the what was then called the Champaign-Urbana Civic Symphony Orchestra. Is that right?
Well, there used to be an orchestra by that name, but the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, we made sure that we wanted it to say that.
So that was Civic. A different organization,
right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this was the piece that audiences of the CU Symphony first heard 50 years ago. That's a performance by the Montreal Symphony Orchestra, led by Charles Dutoit of at least the initial part of the Roman Carnival Overture by Hector Berlioz, which was also the first piece on the first program played by the Champaign-Urbana Symphony 50 years ago. They're in their 50th anniversary season right now, and that's what we're talking about here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Coming up in very shortly, we have a live performance in our studio by this Saturday's guest artist with the symphony. As well as our continued conversation with conductor Steve Larson and founder Gilbert Papp. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. The program is your connection to local music and more. And we devised this program beginning back in February to make connections with our community and specifically with performing artists in our area to make sure that they're getting airtime, that they're getting some extra exposure to the community, and in turn that you have the opportunity not only to find out about those organizations and to find out about events that they're holding and concerts they're giving and plays they're putting on, but also, of course, for them to get the word out to you and to give you more opportunities to hear live music. And we also do that by presenting some of these performers live in our studio which I have to say is a particular treat for me because I get to sit, you know, 5 feet away from cellist Dmitry Kuzov, for example, who we will hear in a moment. And so we'd like to ask during this, our fall pledge period, that if this is a program that means something to you and has maybe tuned you into some organizations and some music you wouldn't never have even thought of, much less heard of before, then consider making a pledge to support the program and making a contribution with your credit card, which you can do by calling us right now at 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL is the way I always try to remember it. And in the studio with me is Dee Breeding of our development department, who has some more particulars to suggest to you.
Well, yes, I think that making connections with the cultural arts in our community is a very important part of our work here at WILL. And developing this program, Live and Local, is one of the ways we've attempted to do that, make those connections even stronger for you and for ourselves. And we're hoping to become the first place you turn to learn more about the artists and the concerts and events that are going on in your listening community. But we can only do this with the support of members of our community that contribute money each year. These are people that we like to call the friends of WILL, and you can become one of them right now. We hope you will by calling 217-244-9455. Right now, you can make your first ever pledge of support or renew your membership in this valuable community resource, the your public radio station, WILL. The number again is 217-244-9455. If you're like me, you've been maybe was a little shy about wanting to know what Live and Local was going to be. It's such a different program than what our normal classical music programming was like. But I've just enjoyed it immensely personally. And if you have been finding it of interest to you, I hope that you'll take this opportunity to call and pledge. Maybe if you tune in every week, you might consider a gift of $52. That's just a dollar a week. And actually, we have some pretty nice CDs to offer you as a thank you gift right now. If you call it, pledge your support at $52. We have a CD called From the Top at the Pops, and that's with Eric Kunzel and the Cincinnati Pops, a very popular concert series that was recorded on this CD, and that's at the $52 level. Whatever is comfortable for you, we hope you'll call and make your contribution right now. 217-244-9455. As Kevin says, that's 217-BIG-WILL.
And you can also pledge online at our website. It's very easy to do there. Some may even find it easier, which is simply willpledge.org. Willpledge.org. Thanks, Dee. Dmitry Kuzov is the brand new cello professor at the University of Illinois. Just started this fall, and he is going to be performing with the Champaign-Urbana Symphony this Saturday evening at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. The first of, are there two total cello concertos of Shostakovich?
Exactly.
And have you performed both of them before, I imagine?
Actually, I never played the second one.
And why is that? Is it a horrible piece?
Oh, it's a great piece, but it's very difficult to convince the presenters to have it because it's completely different from the first one. It's very, it doesn't have this real clear, fantastic energy which the first one has. It's about something else, something, let me say, transcendental. So it has a very soft and slow ending, and you know.
So what
the
is
people are scared of it?
What is the first concerto like then?
Well, the first concerto is incredible piece, as well as the second one, but it's it has tremendous energy throughout, and primitively speaking, it has a very fast and loud ending, which many people like very.
That's very important.
These things to have very important, you know, and you know, that's for me the main reason why the second concerto is less frequently performed as the first one, unfortunately, even though it's on equal level.
Well, we're going to have to leave that as a teaser for this piece, because of course, you know, we can't ask you to play the cello concerto in here without the orchestra. I mean, we could have Steve Larson wave his arms, and we could have Gil Papp and Dee Breeding like sing the, you know, cello and or the, you know, a couple of the parts, but that wouldn't be very adequate. So we did want you to play something and give our listeners an idea of what a wonderful player you are.
Thank you.
Earlier in the week, we had a violinist come in and play a couple of movements from one of the Bach cello suites.
A violinist, yes.
Playing on a Baroque violin. So I thought, since you asked about Bach when we talked yesterday, it would be nice to actually have a cello play some movements from one of those cello suites. So which of the suites did you choose and which of the movements?
Well, I would love to play Sarabande and Pourrèze from the suite number 3 in Happy Key C major.
Happy Key of C major, good.
Yeah, and that's about it.
Okay, Dmitri Kuzov, soloist this Saturday with the CU Symphony here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. Two of the movements from the third of Johann Sebastian Bach's solo cello suites, played here by Dmitry Kuzov, the fresh new professor of cello at the University of Illinois. He's also going to be performing the Shostakovich First Cello Concerto with the Champaign-Urbana Symphony this Saturday evening under the baton of Steve Larson. And Dmitry performed that right in front of us here in our studio here. Us, in this case, being myself, Kevin Kelly, Dee Breeding of our development department at WILL, Steve Larson, who is, of course, the conductor of the CU Symphony, and Gilbert Papp, who is with us as one of the founders of the symphony in this, their 50th anniversary season. And we'll be talking a bit more about that season in just a moment. Thank you very much for playing and for coming in, Dmitry.
That was a great pleasure for me. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm really happy to be the part of this important cause.
Of public radio, I assume you're talking about.
Public radio, exactly. I mean, today, the cause of raising the money for this wonderful station, which I'm hearing every day when I'm here in Illinois in my car.
Oh, you're a faithful listener already.
I am.
That's great.
That was exactly the right thing to say as we lead into an opportunity to give folks the phone number. I know you have to go teach some students and do some practicing for Saturday's performance. But it was really a pleasure to hear you. I liked, I mean, that was not just a straight ahead reading of the Bach, which, you know, can easily be done so many times. I like that you seem to be being a little playful with it now and then. There was a lot of romance in there that you don't necessarily expect. I really enjoyed what you did with it.
Thank you. It was a big pleasure for me to play for all of you today.
Okay.
I wish you all the best.
Thanks. And we'll let you take off as you need to. And I do need to say that support for WYLS programs today, including Live and Local, comes in part from the Illinois Chamber Orchestra with its season debut concert this Saturday. It's an all Mozart program with pianist Maria Horvath, Saturday at 7:30 at First Presbyterian Church in Normal. Call 309-434-2777. And I should say also that their Illinois Chamber Orchestra is performing that same concert on Friday evening in Springfield and also giving children's versions of the program. In fact, on tomorrow's Live and Local, our three guests will include Karen Lindeal, who is the conductor of the Illinois Chamber Orchestra and Symphony Orchestra. Talked with her a bit yesterday. We'll share some of that conversation. Also, conductor Misha Rachlewski, who leads the Chamber Orchestra Kremlin, which will be at the Doudna Fine Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University Charleston. They are performing on Sunday. And Solomon Baer, who will be the clarinet soloist with the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra on Saturday in Decatur. He will be here to play a little bit for us live in the studio on Live and Local. And the phone number, Dmitry Kuzov referred to the wonderful music you hear every day and that he tunes into constantly. If you're one of those folks who tunes in constantly or even just irregularly, but you can't do without WYL FM or perhaps even without Live and Local, then we'd appreciate your call of support at 217-244-9455.
I can say it was really a thrill for me to be in the studio listening to our new professor Dmitry Kuzov play that piece. It was wonderful. Cello is such a great instrument, and really up here, up close and personal, when we're right in the studio like this. And in a way, that's what we're trying to achieve with this program, Live and Local. As Professor Maestro Larson said, we do have a wonderful music community here in East Central Illinois, not only Champaign-Urbana, but also Bloomington Normal and Decatur and the Danville Symphony Orchestra over in Danville. And we have wonderful performances here. And Live and Local is a program that we have developed to try to get you our listeners, and give you an opportunity to actually hear some of the great detail about the history and the more involved parts of the music that's being played and the information about the performers in that you wouldn't have an opportunity to hear any other way. So we hope that you're tuning in every day, and we hope that you will call now during our pledge drive and support this program and all the music and programs that we have on WILL. The number to call is 217-244-9455.
Dee, we have coming up a couple of archive performances of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony as we talk about their 50th anniversary on Live and Local today. The program on Saturday is called, appropriately enough, Old Friends and New Faces, and one of the old friends who will be joining the orchestra is Paul Vermel, who was the longtime conductor of the symphony. I believe he was just the second conductor of the CU Symphony, is that right?
Right.
Gil Papp is with us. He's one of the founders of the orchestra, and Steve Larson also is just the third conductor of the CU Symphony. That's actually pretty incredible to have only three conductors of an orchestra over the space of 50 years. Bernard Goodman was the first one. Mm-hmm. Gil, what do you remember about Bernie Goodman?
Well, with our first meeting with him, Martha Wint and myself, he was insistent upon that the members of the orchestra must be reimbursed for their time. And therefore, it was going to have to be a paid orchestra, not come when you can, leave when you must. And that was very, very important and crucial for the orchestra to move ahead in years to come.
Did it? So it began immediately as a professional orchestra?
Yes.
Was initially volunteer?
Yes.
That's very good news. And what was there anything that, from your point of view as an audience member, that you found interesting about Mr. Goodman's conducting or his rapport with the orchestra? What were some standouts about him? I certainly never met him.
Well, I know as a director and conductor myself, after being under his conductorship at the University of Illinois, I found myself mimicking and trying to be like he was. He was such a fine conductor, and he was loved by all the people in the orchestra.
And I was given his baton.
Oh, were you really?
At the orchestra's 40th anniversary celebration.
No kidding.
Yes.
Did you ever have a chance to meet him?
No.
Do you know him at all?
I think he was dead when I first came, by the time I first came to the orchestra. I'm not sure exactly when he died.
Yeah, I don't know. When I came to Champaign-Urbana, which was in 1991, which is very easy to place because I came here specifically to study with Paul Vermeil, who was the second conductor, mm-hmm. and who was at the time the successor to Bernie Goodman, not only with the CU Symphony, but also initially with the University of Illinois School of Music as the conducting professor there and also the conductor of the symphony orchestra.
In 1974 to 94, he was here. I know that from talking to him.
Wow, that was an expensive time. In fact, we had hoped to have him on the show today, and they're still up in Des Plaines, I think, some function.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they wouldn't get here till 2 hours after the show, which wouldn't do us a whole lot of good. But I hope I have a chance to see him again when he comes down. But Gil, are you able to say in any way when Paul took over the orchestra, was there anything, what differences happened? Did anything happen differently with the orchestra?
I can't speak too much for that because I was gone. I played with the orchestra 10, 11, 12 years at the most. And then...
Clarinet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I can't say too much about that. I know that he was well respected and obviously he was quite good.
Well, he certainly lasted a long time
right.
with them. And then Steve, you took over. Is there anything, Steve, that you can say that when you became the third music director that made it sort of a special experience for you to be in this orchestra that's been around for quite a while and had a history that you're then trying to bring something new to?
Yes, the one of the interesting things about this orchestra then and continues to be interesting now is the mix of people. That are involved in it. There are dedicated, sometimes very, very fine community members who are not professional musicians who play in the orchestra, have played in the orchestra. There are faculty members. There are graduate students, doctoral students. There are undergraduate students. There are people, some of my favorite players actually are the non-music students who they come here to the University of Illinois and they were fine players in high school, and I think of a couple of years ago we had the concertmaster of the Chicago Youth Orchestra who was going to major in engineering, I think engineering or computers. And of course, as a non-music school person, you can't play in the University of Illinois symphony. That's for music people. And he wanted to play, he wanted a musical outlet, so he came and played with the Champaign-Urbana Symphony.
Who was that person?
I'm sorry.
Put on the spot.
I don't remember his name. But we get a lot of people like that, and I like them in particular because there's a certain amount of when you're making your living at it, and of course when you're doing it every day, all day, you're studying music and everything. Oh, I got to go to a rehearsal tonight. But when you're doing something else and you're looking forward to that rehearsal because you can get back, you can get your instrument out, you can play again. A different dynamic there.
Yeah, I imagine so. We have a couple of excerpts from past Champaign-Urbana Symphony performances. Unfortunately, the CD that I received doesn't actually say when they were from or who was conducting the orchestra at the time, so I can't tell you the vintage. But since on Saturday's program is a piece by Shostakovich, the Cello Concerto No. 1, I thought we would hear a sample of Shostakovich's work that is completely unlike the first cello concerto of his. This is one of his many waltzes that he wrote when he was obviously feeling a little bit frisky. The Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra in a waltz by Shostakovich here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
That was a waltz by Dmitri Shostakovich that was taken out of the context of one of his pieces that goes under various names, either Jazz Suite No. 2 or Suite for Variety Orchestra. He took all those tunes from other places, and whether he put them together or somebody else put them together in those suites, I'm not sure. He did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Steve Larson was conducting that performance of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony from a few years back. And this is their 50th anniversary season. This is the second concert of your season, although the first
well, the first was outdoors, yeah. The first was, we did Symphony at Sunset in Dodd's Park, September, what, the 24th or something like that.
Did you have a good turnout for that?
Very good turnout, yes. We had done this a few years ago over Labor Day, and we did it like 3 or 4 years in a row, and every year we were getting a lot more people, and then all of a sudden we got rained out horribly 1 year. We haven't done it for about 5 or 6 years. So this was a pretty good turnout for the first year, I think about what we expected, and we hope that, weather permitting, we'll do it again next year.
Well, that's the thing about rainouts. They can really dampen the spirits of the organizers because you put so much time into those things,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you can't do it.
You know, can I throw in a comment? You know, Gil said before that it was a Champaign-Urbana Civic Symphony mm-hmm. originally, or there was an orchestra. That leads me to a question a lot of people ask. They probably ask you, too, every once in a while. You know, what's the difference between a Philharmonic Orchestra and a Symphony Orchestra? And, you know, you hear about the New York Philharmonic and the Philadelphia Philharmonic and Chicago Symphony. And the answer is, it's just the name. If somebody wanted to start an orchestra in the community now, they might choose to name it the Champaign-Urbana Philharmonic. Just to be different, just to distinguish it. That's all it is.
We hope that they don't, though.
Oh, we hope they don't, too. Because we'll crush them.
No. There's enough competition.
All it is just a matter of a legal name, and of course, you have to have a different name if you're succeeding another organization. That's all.
But very often, if you have a civic orchestra, that sometimes does imply that it is a volunteer orchestra.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very different animal.
Yes.
It was important that it was not going to be called the Civic Symphony. Mm-hmm. It was going to be called the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, which denoted a professional orchestra, not one that where you can come when you want to come and play.
Right.
You know,
and now, of course, it's designated sort of formally as the professional orchestra in residence at
right.
the Krannert Center
exactly.
for the Performing Arts, which, of course, wasn't around when it was founded.
Right.
We'll come back to this in just a minute. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Support for our broadcast today comes in part from Radio Maria in downtown Champaign, now with a new dinner menu. Tapas served every evening until 2 a.m., along with lunch on Friday from 10:30 to 2:30, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Information on menus, wine, and beer lists is at RadioMariaRestaurant.com. And, of course, our program and all our shows here on WILO Radio, supported in substantial part by financial contributions from our listeners, including, we hope, you. And if it doesn't currently include you, or if it includes you but you haven't given to the station in a while, we hope that during this fall pledge period, and perhaps even during this hour, you will consider doing exactly that. And let us know that you appreciate this new program. We've only been on since February the 2nd, as a matter of fact, February 2nd. Live and Local, it's called. It's your connection to local music and more. We often have live performances on here, such as you heard today. We'll have Solomon Bear, clarinetist, with us tomorrow playing live. We've had jazz groups in this room. We've had bluegrass performers. We've had some Chinese musicians. We've had some African, traditional African musicians as well. We've had some Broadway singers. That we have run just about the gamut of acoustic music, and we intend to continue to explore just what the gamut means and see how many different kinds of music we can get in here. But it's important for it to continue for us to receive your pledges of support, your contributions at 217-244-9455, or you can pledge online at willpledge.org.
Yes, it's been wonderful opportunity to use our performance studio that we have here in Campbell Hall. WILL has had at Campbell Hall, and this program, Live and Local, this gives us an opportunity to actually see what we can do in this room. And we have had, as Kevin says, a wide variety of different kinds of musical performances in here today. The cello and the people from the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, and we hope that you this is something that you've been tuning into on a regular basis since we started the program to find out more about upcoming performances, in-depth information about the performers and the concerts. And we hope that you'll continue to tune in. And if this is something that you value, we hope you do. We hope that you'll call during our pledge drive right now. We're in our pledge drive until Tuesday, and today is the first day of our full day of pledging, and we do hope that you'll take this opportunity to call and support the station you rely on with your financial gift. The number to call is 217-244-9455.
Thanks, Dee. Dee Breeding is here with us on Live and Local today to cajole you into making your pledges of support, and we appreciate her company. Steve Larson. If you do call Gil and you won't sing, you were planning to anyway. I didn't know that. This is Steve Larson's 14th season with the Champaign-Urbana Symphony as its music director. I hadn't realized, Steve, that we share that in common, actually, because I've been conducting this group called the Prairie Ensemble the same amount of time. I didn't realize we got here at the same time. And I also keep forgetting that we graduated from the same school. We're both graduates of Northwestern University.
That's right.
I knew there was a reason we got along reasonably well. Gil Papp is with us. He's one of the founders of the orchestra. And, Gil, you shared something with us while we were listening to that Shostakovich waltz a bit ago that I hadn't realized. You founded the orchestra. You played in the orchestra. You went away for quite a while, and you only came back recently and heard the orchestra after a very long time just this last April. You had an interesting impression.
Yes. Austin McDowell, who was the original principal clarinetist with the orchestra and also professor at the University of Illinois, he and I went to the concert in April of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony, and afterward, Austin and I looked at each other, and we commented that, you know, this orchestra is very smooth-sounding and quite a fine orchestra. I hadn't realized it after not hearing the orchestra for many, many years, and all of a sudden hearing it again, and very impressive.
And so how long had you been away?
Well, probably 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you missed the Vermeil years, and you missed the beginning Larson years, and so your memory was from a very different orchestra, probably performing in a very different place.
Right. Now I'm going to be here with the Larson years for quite a while.
You're not planning to go away for another 30 years.
This was the location back then, wasn't it? Wasn't it Smith Hall?
Smith Hall, yes. Our first concerts were given there. First rehearsals were at Champaign Central High School.
No kidding.
But then everything got changed around.
And things are in a great state. It's a wonderful place to play at the Krannert Center. We have one more performance of the symphony. This is probably, I don't know, I think this has got to be, Steve, one of the most beautiful pieces of music that exists.
Oh, definitely, definitely. This is just, it's exquisite.
This is the variation from the Enigma Variations by Sir Edward Elgar called Nimrod. It's the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra. We know that Steve has conducted it. We know some other conductors have led it. We're not sure whose performance this is, so we'll just leave it as the CU Symphony here on Live and Local. the Champaign-Urbana Symphony performing the Nimrod Variations, from the Enigma Variations by Sir Edward Elgar. And this is the 50th anniversary season of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony. We've been pleased to have on the show today one of its founders, Gilbert Papp, who's with us, and also Maestro Stephen Larson, who is in his 14th season as the CU Symphony's music director. Gentlemen, I'm very glad you were able to join us today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
And wish you the very best on your concert on Saturday. It's the official opening concert of this 50th season. Paul Vermeil, former music director, is coming back to lead one of the pieces. And also, you know, what we didn't talk about, and we'll have to do it another time, is this series of fanfares that are being written for the season.
Mm, yes, John Orff is he's our first up this year. We're doing a world premiere fanfare by John.
And there's going to be a new fanfare with every concert.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is a fantastic. We'll have to talk about that another time.
Okay.
So that's on Saturday at 7:30, the Krannert Center, Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra. This is Live and Local. And here's the opening piece of the symphonic sketches of George Chadwick, which will be on that program conducted by Paul Vermeil.